Welcome back to Movie Trailer Reviews Podcast. It's your host, Chris Phenom and Ro here, and we're here to review Untogether. I'm not going to read the synopsis. Directed by and written by Emma Forrest. I'm going to let you guys go ahead and get started on this one, because I watched this, I think, last night, and I need you guys to stop giving me these kind of films, but okay.
Hey, I asked you if y'all wanted to review it. I ain't say
You know what it was? You said that, and it is my fault. Can we listen to who was in it? It didn't dawn on me what that meant, and then I went and looked at it, and I was like, God damn it, why did I do this? So,
I was surprised you was like interested. I put the trailer in there so you could take a look, and I was like, I could see Ro and maybe Shannon want to hop on, but I don't see Chris want to hop on. And then you were like, I'm gonna do it. I'm like,
well, I was gonna do because I had the time, and I was like, well, I can watch it. And if you need somebody to review it with, then all right. I didn't even look at the trailer. I didn't look at anything. I was like, oh, yeah, I got time. I got nothing else going on. It's fine. I can do it this weekend. Yeah, I'm never doing it again. No, I'll make sure I watch trailers first.
I'm sorry. Now you have to tell us what you think. I'm sorry.
You guys go ahead and get your stuff in, and I'll come in later on. It's fine.
I just want to remind you that time is relative, sir. So when you be like, I got the time, just know it's relative.
You're right. You know, that's my fault. It's my fault. I fucked up here. Anyway, go ahead.
So I watch stuff like this all the time. Like, literally, I'm watching a movie called Ramen Girl downstairs because I don't have shit else to do, and I'm tired of popping up on my IMDb, and I know it's terrible, but I'm watching it anyway.
I saw your description of it, and yeah, Nick, I'm worried about you.
I do this to myself all the time, but I did watch Girls. And I'm very familiar with Jemima Kirk. I also watched Mozart in the Jungle, so I'm very familiar with Lola Kirk. And I'm not familiar with Jamie because fuck 50 Shades of Grey. But,
you know, he's done more than 50 Shades of Grey. You ain't got to do that. Don't reduce that man to that. Don't do that.
I'm doing too many shades of gray. How about that? You know, Billy Crystal is Billy Crystal. I forgot what the other major actor's name is in this.
Alice Eve?
No, the one that Lola is fucking in this movie.
Ben Mendelsohn?
There you go, Mendelsohn, who is an amazing actor. That's why I was saying it's kind of tragic that I forgot his name, because he's probably the most prominent, like, he's probably the best actor in this movie, and he's in this movie. So it's interesting. But I guess if you're going to have Lola Kirk burying her face in your crotch as your opening scene, I don't really see that as a terrible reason not to sign up for this movie. Overall, I just don't really, I got white people problems. Like, that's, I just can't really, I really don't connect with any of these characters, because like the background, like that they try to give me on them is very vague. The movie actually starts where it starts. There's really no leaning in to help you more understand where these relationships are coming from versus you're just sitting and watching where they're going from the point that they're at. And everybody in this movie is kind of self-serving and a bit vain, kind of a dick. And I don't necessarily have a problem with it, but when the movie begs for me to all of a sudden feel things for them, I kind of don't. I'm just watching it and I'm like, you're dating a girl that's 20 years younger than you or whatever, and she's acting like a person that's 20 years younger than her who would let somebody give her those bangs. You're messing with a beardy white boy who wrote a book that had some prominent effect and is kind of like the stereotypical dude who wrote a book that women love. Like, it definitely reminds me of Jack Nicholson from As Good As It Gets, only he had a reason. Because, you know, OCD and shit.
What was that? What was that book that Oprah made, the Oprah Club? And then you find out the dude lied. Was like Million Little Pieces. What was that book? Remember, it was a big deal. It made this dude wrote the book and it made the Oprah Book Club. Then it found out that he lied, so he had to go back on the Oprah and be confronted by Oprah and admit that he lied. That's what it reminded me of. It wasn't even that like interesting because they didn't give you the backstory on that. So it's just like.
Right. They didn't. They just kind of show women walking up to him, and the book is supposed to be about this love experience, this experience of love that he left in another country or whatnot. And really, it's just some guy who just wrote what I guess he thought that women wanted to read and et cetera, but he's really just he's just a dick. And Jemima is just in it, man. Like, first of all, Jemima loves to just get naked for no reason all the time. And I appreciate anybody who appreciate their body that much. That's fine, but she just be getting naked and it's like, is this the naked scene? Cool, I'm ready to do this. And she's already like naked for no reason. It's like, okay.
Y'all really not gonna tell anybody what this movie is even allegedly supposed to be about? You really just
no. That's what, bro, that's why I had
what
you
is it supposed to be about?
No, what it's supposed to be about? What, like, that's why I had you watch.
What is it supposed to be about? I watched an hour and 30 minutes of this shit and was like, what am I watching?
Okay, I'll give you this. This is a very LA movie. Like, I know people like this.
White tears, right. You mean?
Huh? What? Yes, it's a little bit of white people problems, but sad to say,
a little bit out here,
this is not an exclusive thing to white people, and it's really sad. So, Andrea, played by She Who Loves to Get Naked Jemima, is a recovering addict. She was also a writer. She had a really big release. Her career stalled. And Jamie Dornan is, you know, fuckboy memoir writer. Now, it's not just that he wrote some whole story that women love. He allegedly is a doctor who went to Giza, like, you know, the Doctors Without Borders thing, and he wrote this story about this great, beautiful, tragic love story that fell apart, and then he came home. He sold it as a memoir.
Yes.
And, you know, so it touched people and it moved them, and he gained this, you know, obvious LA fame thing because they love it. You know, he's a doctor. He was already a pretty big fucking deal, and now he's written a book. The movie does start with them. I thought it was hilarious. I'm sorry. Anybody whose go-to moment for not, you know, being early to the end of the game is to sing Danny Boy at your back. I don't know if I'm staying to the end of that encounter. I mean, that's just me. But this is a thing. This is a thing out here. People who are together but not together, who, you know, oh, I'm not looking for anything serious, but, you know, we have this thing. They play this whole not really together, but if we do stuff, you're who I call, or, you know, the whole phenomenon of the what are you doing text that everybody basically knows is a precursor to a booty call hookup. And then you have the other one, her sister Tara,
who is Tara?
Again, who with them bangs, God help us.
I do, like, I love her little lisp, and I think she's cute and adorable, but she's also annoying. Like, she is so annoying when they put her in certain roles.
She was perfectly cast. She's 23 years old, self-centered, daddy issues.
Super daddy issues.
Completely, like, out of touch with any other level of, you know, realness in her life. She has no depth, but the daddy issues. As you say, the super daddy issues. You was about to say something, what?
No, I was going to say she is super, just that. Super fucking daddy issues and a need to... She looks like a woman who is very comfortable in a good jumper, like a jean jumper.
A romper? Yeah, she's a romper wearer. I mean, come on. She works in a spa. She's very into the superficial. She doesn't really think... She always wants to go for the joke, and she's dating someone who used to be a pretty big deal back in his day. He's, what, no less than 20 years older than her? Probably more. And he's all about her, and he's not really trying to relive his glory days, but he's also not daddying her. They're just dating.
He said, "I expect you to be an adult at one point." And I was like, you know what though? I kind of got to agree with him. Like, you are extremely childish.
She's extremely childish.
I'll be honest. I was expecting his character. Other than the age difference, I was expecting his character to be way worse than it was. Like, I was like, oh, he's actually, I mean, I don't want to say their relationship wasn't toxic, because it also wasn't, like, ideal, but, like, he wasn't really trying to, I think he was treating her way more mature than she actually was, because she clearly was out of her fucking mind.
That, like, was the problem with their relationship. Like, and he was a bit emotional, and I don't think that she was ready for that at her age. Like, it's
she wasn't.
Like,
Don't put that shit on any. No. She just is shallow. She's self-centered, self-focused. But it's not because she's young. That's just because how she was.
Like, young is an immature young. Like, she just doesn't understand that everybody don't want to pay for your fare to the carnival. But that's how she walking around in this life. Hey, you want to be nigga to give me some cotton candy? Like, no.
I mean, think about it. Like, okay, so Billy Crystal is playing David, who was one of her customers who turns out to be a rabbi. He's married to Jennifer Grey, who at some point is really truly just going to honestly understand that she halted her career when she removed all face recognition by that damn nose job.
Oh my God, I did not know who she was until I looked her up. And I was like, is that old girl from the Patrick Swayze Like Some Young?
Yes, that is Jennifer Grey from Dirty Dancing. And once again, she's, you know,
due to her nose and her cheeks, yo.
I don't know what she was thinking, but it's like, yeah. And the look is not aging well. That is another problem. But so David, Billy Crystal's character, Rabbi David, kind of encourages Tara to come to the church because she makes a really crude joke during his spa session, which leads into the, you know, and I'm a rabbi. But but that whole dynamic was off. And as soon as you realize that he's actually trying to introduce her to substance and depth and her religion and what it could mean in her life, and she's always cracking that joke, that's when you realize that this girl is just, she is not with the shits. I don't know if she's like, she's huffed too much glue, if what she really needs is a therapist and some medical, you know, adjustment, but she is just, there's no depth to her. And like, you, even when you realize that her sister, because she and Andrea's character, Jemima Kirk, I'm never going to be able to call her nothing but Naked Girl now because of you.
Bro, that's all she was through Girl. And it was like the only reason outside of her acting skills, I loved her relationships on that show, that I guess a bunch of people kind of stuck around. But now everything she does, it's just that. Like, that's what she does.
She lives in a goddamn treehouse. She lived in a goddamn treehouse.
Hey, look, her treehouse was kind of cool, man. You let me
know. She lived in a red light.
Her treehouse was fly. I'm sorry. Adult. I can't go with you on that one, Chris. Her treehouse was fly. She lived and I didn't have to live in the main house with her sister?
She lived as an adult in a goddamn treehouse.
I don't know what's wrong. You can call her.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah. She had a dope-ass dollhouse.
She had a tiny house. She just really had it built in a tree. What's your problem? What's your problem, Chris? What's your problem?
I want to know who built it, though. Like, I know she didn't.
No. That's daddy's mummy. Whatever daddy did when he was on tour, he clearly left his daughters with enough money to, A, not have to ever, one, to learn to drive, and B, to afford to have a very well-built tree house in a back damn yard so one could live. And if it meant I didn't have to live in the main house with my sister and her dude, I would live in a tree house, too. I'd sleep in a tree house. I'm sorry, Chris, I would. But like, this whole story is just about, you know, the unresolved nature of relationships. Are we together? Are we not together? It's very, very LA. So yeah, it picks up. You don't really know how these relationships starts. And then you start hearing and learning everything in reverse. And they're just drop in points into people's lives. And you just start to watch, you know, people unravel. It's the whole, supposed to be the whole thing where Andrea's character is she's been clean a year. And she's trying to get her life together and she can't write. So she's fully invested herself in this guy, Jamie Dornan's character. I love Jamie Dornan, but I don't care how much you like him. You not going to sing Danny Boy at me while we fucking. That's just not going to be a part of our routine. And the whole not having my name with my phone number in your phone, and you like me, you want to keep smashing me, but you don't want to have to call me. So I'll just text you when I want some. That's LA. That's a very SoCal thing. It's sad, but it's true. It's sad, Chris, but it's true.
Sounds like a person who keeps barbecuing their beard for effect. I'm not really vibing with his
character. Or just keeps the beard for effect.
He shaved it all, and he shaved it off at a point in this film, and it was supposed to be like his coming to moment, and I was like,
whatever.
And it's a great moment, because now, like, you kind of just lost all like authority. The beard was you, sir. You didn't make
Beard was not him. I guess it's supposed to be the whole, you know, he's, you know, shedding that persona that he built with the lie for the book he wrote, now he's just gonna strip himself down and be honest. But all it did is make him look like he lost 30 pounds in rehab because he also got an alcohol problem.
Yeah, it was 28 days later moment. Or 28.
Yeah, it was 180 days later, something. But like, I don't know where they, I don't really know. This is one of those unresolved things because it's a drop in and then you just kind of drop out and you don't really know whether or not the people, there's nothing's resolved. And I don't really know what Emma Forrest's point was.
No.
But I couldn't stop watching. I'm like, why? Because I kept going, I'm like, why am I don't care about any of you people. I was like, why am I still watching this? And I was like, because I'm not afraid if it did not finish, even for a review with somebody else. But it was just weirdly, strangely, I was like, let's see how far y'all gonna fuck up your lives. Let's see. I mean, because let's be real. The best thing Tara had in her life was the stability of her older boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't nobody else gonna put up with her shit? Wasn't nobody else gonna... No one else was gonna come to you and apologize for calling you a foul name after you pissed yourself at their job.
Like, I just don't get... her character is such a non-factor and yet so effective.
Because there are so many of her out here.
Yeah, she's so toxic to everybody around her. And at the same time, she's unentertaining.
Because she's so very much many girls out here.
It's like Jemima has a story. Like Jemima has a story. She has character. It's not fleshed out very well. But like anybody who gets socked in the eye socket on a park bench by a homeless woman who then flashes them is... You know, that person has a story to tell. Like, for sure, you've got stories, and I'd like to hear them. I feel like Lola is the person that walks up on stage after that person and was like, if you love her story, you're definitely going to love mine, and nobody does. And that's what she is in this film, and it's not like people don't care about her in this film. Everybody's trying to give her some type of guidance. But that, she's got the biggest fucking hole in her head.
I'm just curious to whether or not this is actually Jemima and Lola's relationship, since they're actually related in real life.
Which would be interesting because they take such drastically different roles for their projects. Jemima is always kind of sassy, a bit toxic, a bit abusive, very raunchy, very raw, straight in your face. Lola is always reserved, kind of quiet, doesn't really know what the fuck she wants to do, definitely likes older men. And, it, you know, like Gemini was the first time I saw her in a film where she kind of had to take grip of a situation or take control. And even then, she's still being led around. And then that film kind of just ends. And it's like, really?
But honestly, I think that's why I couldn't stop watching this. As much as I want to be mad that these characters seem to be such a hot mess and so overly complicated, there's just something unappreciated about how she displayed these different kinds of toxic relationships and never tried to resolve them to some real happy ending. So we don't ever really know if these people get their shit together. Each of them have this penultimate moment of some kind of epiphany in towards the end of the movie. And that's really how stupid this kind of mistake making relationship living in between dealing with the crap that is your life and what you've done to yourself kind of happens in real life. And even for each of the moments where everybody is kind of a weak character, I was like, you know what? I was like, I know somebody like you and they just as stupid. Or I know somebody who fixates on another person because they don't want to deal with their reality. I know this other person who wants to be needed so badly. They put up with a partner who treats them like shit and does not take any responsibility for them. And they just kept having these moments where, like, I was like, okay, I buy you two sisters. I buy that you have issues. I buy that you're not even on the same page about how you want to view your past. One of you has serious issues that you've channeled into your relationships with your daddy, and the other put heroin in your arm until you decided that maybe I should stop doing that. And then like, and can we talk about the random cameo by Jimmy Kahn's kid?
Who?
What's his name? He's on the Hawaii Five-0 show. His last name is Kahn. Why can't I remember his first name?
Mm-hmm. Which scene?
Scott Kahn. The one where she met up with the guy in the bistro, and you find out halfway through the conversation that that's her ex-husband, and she asked him, was he still getting high? Scott Kahn, right? Like, just randomly out of nowhere, that's Scott Kahn?
And see, for me, it was just another person.
Right, but see, that's where you get all of the development of what's going on with these people, these random encounters in, like, coffee shops or, you know, the moment where somebody shows up at a party where they're really, really not supposed to be there, so they're crashing, and you get to find out through the awkwardness that, you know, how much she screwed up her career, how long ago that book was she wrote that was really well received. And, you know, I that's what kept me interested. I was like, okay, well, what's going on with you otherwise?
I can kind of attest to that. Like, I cared more about these side characters in a film where its main characters all felt like side characters.
They are all side characters.
Right. Like, you watch it and it's like, there are three and a half. I'm giving a little a half. Three and a half stories going on here. But all of them feel like side characters, and all of them felt like this could have been their own film, but like not a full run film. Maybe like a short film. Maybe like 65 minutes of story. Mm-hmm. Possibly. It's like an upgraded, it's like a high grade documentary shot type thing, but like somebody's getting a documentary made about them that they don't necessarily agree with needing to or wanting to be made, but it's happening. It's like if Parks and Rec wasn't funny and you're just following them around and looking at what's going on. And most of the story, like you say, you're getting about these people because they're so self-indulgent without actually talking about themselves. So there's no like narrative form. They don't really go through their feelings like that unless they're just projecting, which is like Jemima does. There's so much projection from her about how she feels, but it's more like questioning if she feels the way that she feels or doesn't feel, like doesn't really know. So it's no ground to it. But what you really get, the full development where these characters start to clear up for you, or when the film starts to add clarity to them, is when you listen to the side characters talking about them or to them or just interacting with them in general. Because at one point I was like, Jemima's not that bad of a character. Like, I understand what she's going through. I see her problems. And then she made that statement to the homeless woman on the bench and she punched her in the fucking face. And I was like, yep, you deserve that.
Pretty much. But that's what I liked about this. And I was like, I don't know if I like this movie, but I don't dislike this movie. But that's again, I also watch these kinds of films. So I'm a bit prepped for this type of thing. I thought it was shot really well. I thought, you know, that there was depth to the characters, but I didn't understand why the complication had to be so left of center or right of center. But I didn't dislike learning about them by watching them interact or the conversations they had with people, because honestly, that's very much what happens out here. It's like, if you really want to see what's up with somebody and you're out in public, you kind of watch and, you know, maybe it's just because I'm an observer more than a participatory person sometimes. But this is how you learn about people. You see them in a conversation with someone else and someone brings something up about them, which turns the conversation to something that turns to be personal. And then you realize, oh, I'm actually talking to somebody who's about something or was about something. And you're like, well, what happened to you? And then you're like, oh, yeah, well, I had a drug habit and it completely derailed my life. You're welcome. And thanks for talking about that at a cocktail party. Or, you know,
you say a cocktail party, but this felt like a coffee house film in those instances.
Yeah, yeah, but I like that.
Waiting to pick up their, you know, I don't know, double espresso with coconut milk, whatever.
Okay, whatever. The random girl who walks up and thinks everybody who doesn't look like her is the one who's working there to bring her drink, she exists. The one who gets so drunk that she just kind of feels on random people, she mm-hmm. exists. In this, like, you go to certain parties that are semi-pseudo networking events where it's all built around, you know, like, writers aren't usually this obnoxious, but, you know, or that pretentious as they were at that one party where she crashed to see what was up with him. But that shit happens out here. That's why I was like, this is a very LA film, but it's not a very LA story, because.
Which is what Gemini is. That's supposed to be an LA story with the beautiful shot LA film shit.
I'm gonna be honest. I can't do this anymore. Like, this to me, this is like the All About Nina film. Where it's like it just exists and it doesn't end, and I can't connect to anybody in this film. I don't care about anybody in this film. Like, I understand everything you guys are saying there. It is not enjoyable or entertaining to watch. It's just you're just watching these people just be terrible people the entire time and be fuck ups. And I understand that that might be how it is in some people's real lives, but it's just, there's nothing, there's no entertainment value or educational value, or I got nothing out of watching these people do this for like an hour and 38 minutes. By the time the film ends, I'm like, what was the point of any of
you
this?
You just the after credit scene where they make it all the way down the hill?
Right. It's like, what are we doing? Like, what was the whole point of any of this? Like, and to me, I'm not saying that it couldn't be interesting. The problem is, and you guys kind of hit on it, there are these multiple little stories in here that they tell half-ass, and then they move on to something else and don't go. This whole film could have been about, what was it, Tara and her whole, you know, latching on to the rabbi, Billy Crystal's rabbi, and basically, you know, because of her daddy issues. Whole film could have been about that, but instead of doing that, you get that sprinkled in between her and her aging, you know, trying to live his glory days, you know, boyfriend, and also her sister, her fuck up sister, and this weird story with her and this this writer who's still also somehow famous writer, but also is, or a famous doctor telling the story, but is also now still a doctor, looking like he's like an orderly. Like, none of it fucking, it's like, what are we doing? Like, it's just all over the fucking place. Like, there's no focus. It doesn't make any fucking sense. It felt so goddamn long, but it's only an hour and 38 minutes. And I'm like, how the fuck is this movie still going on? You're not telling the story. Then in the end, and you're just like, really, all just so she can go, I'm going to go and find my boy, find that dude and apologize. And the other dude shows up to, what's your name's treehouse, and they sleep in the treehouse on the side because both of them are fuck-ups and neither one of them have a license. They got to walk down the hill to go to breakfast, and the film rolls credits. What are we doing? Like, what was the point of putting this fucking film together?
Well, I mean, that end part was essentially her getting her shit together and actually finally writing something.
Well, I get that.
She wasn't, but... And him realizing he was a douchebag, which, again, it's not a payoff for what you... It's not a good enough payoff, understandably, for what you just sat through.
Well, no, I don't. Well, I didn't really feel like it needed to. I felt like she was trying to do that whole full circle effect, you know, end with a couple she started with, show where they were versus where they started. And, you know, Andrea is not only sober, but now she's had something published again.
But even the publishing thing, they kind of rush through that. It's like she goes and basically publishes a story basically using the dude, this dude's fucked up life. But the way the film is shot, you're like, when the fuck did she write it? When did she write it?
Right.
When did she write it?
On the bus because she can't drive.
Right. but like, you never see her actually sit down and try to write something to get her life together. All of a sudden, it's just like, all of a sudden, his life is falling apart. She's gotten to writing. He's now, you know, apparently gotten in an accident or something like that. And then he ends up into a, but he didn't get injured, but he's at a, at AA meetings. It's like, did he get fired from his job? Like, what? Like, you have
probably
there's just,
not.
He there's just rehab, nothing so. There, though. That's what
I don't
I'm saying.
Think
there's
I just
no
don't
substance.
Think he's supposed to care about that stuff. Don't.
But
no.
You
like, every
have
time
to.
He's at the hospital, notice he's always outside. I feel like they didn't get a permit to shoot any scenes in the hospital.
No, you're probably right.
Never let him go in. Like, he's always coming out to get on his phone for some reason, but he's got orderly scrubs on. Like, that's what it is.
But I'm saying it's like, you can't. That's not a good movie. Like, this film has no actual substance. Like, what we're doing here, the film you guys have filled the gaps in and talked about is a better film than this film that's actually shot, because you guys are actually filling in the details and the context that's supposed to be in the film.
But everything
film
that's
not
that
do.
We're talking about is in the film, Chris.
Yeah,
it's not really,
I can't
it's not
agree
really,
with that because
it's not
they
really
don't,
in the film, though. It's not.
They don't go around like that. There are films that just don't fully explain that shit.
Well, that's
some
what I'm saying.
It's
not
very relative. Like,
that's
you're
not
like
a full
supposed
story.
To, like Ro, I knew Ro would understand this better than I would. West Coast white people.
This thing, it's not that I don't understand it. I understood the film.
You just don't care.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like, I understand the film. It's not a lack of understanding. It's I don't care because they didn't try to make me care in the film. If you're going to make this film, And again, maybe this is a film that's literally made for that small subsection of LA people who go, oh, I get it. And that's it. That's fine. Don't wide release your fucking film then. Because then you're not making it for everybody else. It's like, I have to literally have been in a situation like that to understand these people. Because other than that, I don't give a shit. And if I don't give a shit, about
I honestly think there'll be people more than just here. I'm just saying that as soon as the movie started and I realized what the kind of relationship dynamic was between the two dominant relationships and that we were kind of following the two sisters through their little thready paths of where am I and what am I doing? I was like, okay, I recognize at least that. And then you throw in the guy who's playing the sexually, financially positive guy who's seriously got some sex positive kink going on. And I'm like, okay, it's totally what it is. That's why no one had names. He said, I want to own you. It's totally, you know, there's we'll just go with it being, he wasn't, you know, it wasn't toxic. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't damaging. So we'll just call it some sex positive kink. And stop invoking that. Cause that's just trash on many levels. But like, I get it. I was like, if this movie doesn't connect with you or, you know, if it's not your bag, I can see that. For me, I was like, okay, there's not going to be any one dominant storyline going through and this thing's going to meander. I'm going to go, well, I'll just let it meander along. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. And then I started asking myself, I'm like, well, did Andrea kind of target this dude because, you know, she knew about him or whatever? Or people fall in and fall out of relationships all the time. People fall into mess and they fall out of mess all the time. I don't necessarily always think that that's the best way that you want to approach a story, but I think it's a much more honest way of talking about some of these things. I would have liked if there had been a stronger narrative thread, but there was strong writing. I mean, we all have we have decided opinions about everybody who was in the movie. So the characters were well handled, even if you ended up not liking them or not caring about them. It was really well shot. She took some, you know, particularly nice aerials in atypical places in the city to shoot around, so you still had a sense of a grounding. This was in a real world, but it still had that coffee house vibe that, you know, that this kind of movie generally tends to do well in.
But that's that's where I fall in with this. The narrative portions and stuff like that. The reason I don't love or hate this film is because I'm used to watching these Sundance-ish type, just we made a film. And it I don't know, like when I've gone to like Charles Theater to see stuff with Ash, run into films like this all the time where I'm like, okay, they had like a script. And I feel like the actors were way more involved in this because it's such a low budget indie film. So the expression of the characters is more kind of rooted in their actual expression in life. And maybe they're telling subtle stories about themselves that they haven't really got off, but they're not going into too much detail about it. And, you know, like the pickups and fall offs at certain points. And then for some reason, trying to bring it all full circle unnecessarily to kind of an extent to make it feel like it was a movie. I'm just used to it. I watch stuff like this constantly. Because it's there. And sometimes I do just cut it off. Like after 50 minutes, I'll be like, I see what they were trying to do, but this is just too fucking out there. Like out there as in there's nothing for me to grab onto here or my attention. And then for a film like this, I'm like, I actually enjoy watching some of these characters because I like the story that they're attempting to tell that they're not really fleshing out. So it's a lot of it I feel like Jemima in an interview would be like, somebody would ask her to explain her character and she would do the whole hands with your wrist twirling up in the air. Oh, you know, well, maybe sometimes her character feels like this, but then some days you'll wake up and you feel like this. So at that point, that's where we switch camera angle and show an LA sunset. And you realize that her character may feel like this, but she's never really grounded or rooted in anything. And you're kind of just walking through life's past and yada, 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 yada. Is she drunk while talking about And that's I'm just kind of used to seeing it. Sometimes I'm like, what are you really trying to say versus what you actually said in the film or did not say or think you didn't say, but you said? So on that pass, I'm like, yeah, but am I going to be like, yo, you should run out and watch this because it's yada, yada? No, this is absolutely like a Sunday afternoon off type of film to me. This is some, man, I'm laying on the couch eating cheese and crackers.
Yo, I'm sorry. It's not even that entertaining to me. It doesn't even have, at least All About Nina had the ass eating scene we could laugh and joke about. There's nothing entertaining.
I can't do it. All About Nina is just offensive. That film just offended me. I just
I think it's better than All About Nina.
So did I. That film offended the shit out of me.
And I think also a part of it is I don't always need my movies to have a certain resolution.
You coming back to the microphone?
Sorry. Did I get too far away?
So you walking away like the end of this movie. Like, where's she going?
My bad. I said, I don't really feel like I need my movies to have a certain resolution. I don't like the ending. I felt like she had the opportunity to do something far better than she did with the end of this movie. So I was a little disappointed in the ending for that, for those purposes. But I liked the way she told this story. I'm not necessarily enamored of the story she chose to tell, if that makes any sense.
No, it does.
And I thought it was directed well. I thought she had a great cast. I thought she used most of them well. I feel like she underutilized certain characters, and it led to her overemphasizing things that probably led to disinterest for Chris and will lead to disinterest for other people, because it's not exactly it's not an interesting angle to take on someone's life when you're already telling a story atypically. But I think it'll find an audience. I don't think it's going to find a wide audience. I think it's more of an, I think it's more than art house film, less than a major release, but I enjoyed it. I watched all of it. I don't have a problem. Maybe it's because I like to yell at my TV. Maybe it's because sometimes when you watch somebody do something that you know is stupid, that you recognize as a behavior pattern that you have witnessed others engage in, it's just fun to yell at them. and that's kind of how I felt about this movie. It's like that one obnoxious scene where the guy turns around and says, well, if you're not driving, you're not really engaging with the city. And I was like, that is the most pretentious
bullshit,
upper middle class white bullshit. I was like, you don't. I'm like, she's on the bus. She walks where she wants to go. You can't interact more with the city than someone who has to be in the city to get where they want to go. So she's on the ground level with people. And I really kind of felt like that was a difference between everybody's philosophy in life, is how they dealt with anything. And the only one who was really trying to dig through and really deal with any of their shit was Andrea's character. And I don't like the fact that they did a full circle and put her essentially back in the same place she was at the beginning of this movie.
Only and she has more power than him now.
I don't care if she's in a more healthy frame of mind. I don't even care if she wrote out what drew her to him when he was just an asshole and pretty much half a step off being anonymous sex. I don't care, because you never really got to see her benefit from the effect she was having on his life. But we as the viewers got to watch him realize, I actually care about this girl. She has a name to me. And what that made him do with his phone when they were sitting on the couch. But then he turned around, and because he's never given her any of that, when he tried to connect with her on a deeper level, she thought he was just being flippant again, so she was flippant back. And instead of him digging in and saying something to her, he basically, you know, ran back into his corner, which did, of course, turn right around for his life to fall apart, which I greatly enjoyed, because how often do we actually get to see the person fall off their pedestal?
I think part of that, and I completely now just remember from you it going through that, this movie felt rushed when it came to his story, because for a good chunk of the middle portion, he would just gone. I was like, are they done with his character? And then I feel like they were kind of done with the Lola and Ben Mendelsohn story to an extent. And they kept doing that weird thing of Ben and Jemima maybe having a twinge for each other, but not really a twinge, because he liked Lola, he don't like Jim. So it, you know, that kind of weirdness in the middle of the film and his taxi car cry or Uber cry, whatever that was. And then all of a sudden they bring back Jamie. And I was like, oh, we're not done with him. Is this the part where he realizes he likes her? Yep, it is. Okay.
It's the part where he realizes he's fucked up lots of things. That's why I said I didn't feel she wrote strong characters. I don't think she really did. She built us a picture and then she didn't tell us anything. And she built it in a world that we don't care about, even though it's one that we can recognize. So, I mean,
as far as telling these types of stories go, she did far better than a lot of people do. And I think it's highly laudable that this is what, her directorial debut.
Yeah.
I want to say it's her writing and directorial debut.
It is.
Yeah. So, you know, she has that double meaning of the title, because we're not dating, so we're untogether, and also we don't have this together, so they're all untogether.
Yeah, that's that whole uncoupling, consciously uncoupling bullshit, and all that other stuff and whatever. And I mean,
they don't have their shit together. Shit, right? Nobody does in this film has their shit together, except maybe Ben. So we're all
untogether. I got the double entendre. I just don't.
Simple as fuck. You know what? All praise be to Alice Eve, because she played the shit out of her character. She ran old boy at the table when she was like, "Go show me the vomit." I was like, "Mm-hmm, go get the vomit bag, sir."
Mm-hmm. She was my favorite. She was just very, very, very much my favorite, and she wasn't even in that many scenes. But she's who you remember. I loved her, Irene. But like, that's what I mean. This is an author. I mean, I think she was. I don't think she got out of her head enough. And she does more literary typewriting, and I don't say that like it's pejorative, given that I read a lot of it. I just don't feel like she moved far enough away from what you can do when you're writing something like this, as when you need to visually be giving this to somebody. And so I think it's impressive for, you know, a first out the gate. I think she's got an interesting eye for how she chooses to direct her people. And I thought she had some interesting cutaways. The score wasn't bad, and the soundtrack song choices she made were pretty good. I just think that she needs to take a couple further steps away from her literary mindset so she can make sure that she has a narrative thread that will be appealing to more than a niche audience.
Also, this film had me completely confused about its location for like the first 20 minutes, because everybody was using their legit accents. So I was like, where the fuck are we? Because it looks like LA, but it doesn't sound like we're anywhere in the States, because everybody on the screen except Lola has an accent. Which also, so Jemima and Lola weren't raised in the same house, I'm guessing, because they don't have similar accents at all.
Either that, or Lola came over here and decided she was going to Americanize herself. And
yeah, that kind of threw me when they all started talking. And I was like, oh, where is this supposed to be? So, yeah.
Where would you guys get this film out of 10?
I'm actually looking at the IMDb, and it's sitting right where it probably should be for me. Like a 6 out of 10 is pretty much. I feel like I could give it an 8 out of 10 if that homeless woman would have also punched Lola in the face later and they'd draw like a metaphorical connection between that.
Okay, wow. It's about a 6.5 out of 10 for me.
Yeah. Seems right. Like, I'll look for more,
Do you have a number for this one?
I'm just gonna go ahead and abstain for this one, because I just feel like I've watched enough of these films now at this point. Like, I just can't get into these films. Like, these films are just, if I can't at some point feel some kind of connection for these characters, and I just don't. And so the film is just, I see everything you guys are saying sounds great. I feel like you two would put a better film together than this film is.
I agree. And I don't know about the shooting part, but I could complete.
Well, we can find somebody else to shoot it.
It's just so uninteresting, and I feel like it's just, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. I think that's what it is. So it's like,
that's fair. That is fair.
Yeah. So I can't even give. I don't even want to give it a score, because I don't know. I just know it's not for me, and I do not like it. And so I don't know what score to get. But it's not like one of those other films where I watch, and it's like, you know, like Aquaman, I'm like, I watched that film, you know, and I, you know, I wanted to like it, and I know where I feel about it. It's like, this film is just like, just indifferent. I'm
give it 3 out of 10 ketchup packets.
I'm just you know what it, you know what it is? These are the kind of people that I see, and I'm just like, I'm glad I don't have those fucking problems. And
her cinematographer is a woman too. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looked really good. I just I get what you're saying, and I can respect that. I just feel like I'm slightly dismayed that this is the type of story for this kind of type of film that's getting popular. If that it makes any sense. Well, like, they feel like they're doing something avant-garde, and I don't, you know, at least I didn't hate anybody here. I may not have really cared about anybody except Irene, who was the only one who truly did have their shit together and didn't, you know, didn't deserve to have to deal with his punk ass. Uh-huh. But I really just don't understand why this type of story and this particular perspective and viewpoint on talking about relationships is the one that seems to be coming back to dominance. And it really concerns me because the people who are writing the stories, at least this one, they're good, which means someone's going to give them money to make it. And then we're going to get inundated with these things again.
I don't know. I don't know. It's 6 out of 10 indies for me.
It's 6.5 out of 10 for me.
Strong indie. It is the quintessential indie film. Like, I could see somebody maybe avant-garde. I guess someone could try, but I see like Suspiria, whatever that shit is. Got too many. I could see that when they're like, it's art house, and I'm like, yeah, I get it. It is. It is definitely fucking art house. But when I look at this, I go, oh, this is, God, this is 250% indie. This is so fucking indie.
It feels almost pretentious. It's just, and you're right. I think that's another thing, too. It's like, I'm starting to see more and more of these kind of films. And not like I watch them, but I can just see, like, the trailers. And I'm just like, are you guys trying to make this a thing? Like, why is this the story? Why is it the story you can tell? Like, there's so many other ways to tell this story. And I also feel like it's also almost romanticizing just people being terrible.
Like, it is.
And I'm like, come on, guys. Like, this is...
love ideology. That's what it is.
There's so many...
You guys, love is like romance and flowers and Valentine's Day and yay, but it's not. It's really...
What are the ages of everybody? Because like, I know the chick was supposed to be like 23, but how old is she in real life? Because she looks like she's probably like 30.
Lola's got to be close.
Yeah, like, I think they are. That's the thing. That was the other thing that threw me off. No one looked like the age they were supposed to be playing, except Billy Crystal and Ben Mendelsohn.
And that's my other problem too. It's like you're too fucking old to be doing. And I understand there might be some people that are this old that actually act that way too. But it's I'm getting to be that old cranky age now where I'm just like, you're too fucking old to be acting like you're all like fucking 15-year-olds. Grow the fuck up. And so when I see these in a film, I tap out immediately going like, the same thing with the Nina thing. Like, I understand that there's trauma, and if they weren't to kind of talk about the trauma and dealing with it, okay, but they don't. It's just like people just wallow in their trauma, and then they find other people that are also wallowing in their trauma. Then they harm each other, and then all of a sudden there's this one with the end where it's like, we're all still kind of broken and fucked up, but now we're just going to walk off into the sunset, and that's it. And I'm like, you know what?
Hey, bro. You realize you just described Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Like when okay, I don't like
those people either. That's the, what not, you don't understand.
I don't either. But like Rose saying earlier, if this is so LA, the way you just described people's relationships and romance and stuff, and the whole just grow the fuck up, that's so Facebook, because that's exactly what people do. They fucking bask in their own toxicity. The fucking scene where she is in the tub soaking with her dirty clothes, and it's like
wallowing in their own filth.
Yes. And I'm like, that is the film. That is the metaphor that we're supposed to be getting from all of this. Sometimes people just wallow in their own filth. And I'm like, yes, all the time, online, in these worlds where there is this all this perception that need be had for a person. You must present yourself a certain way. There's an image to uphold. the whole who are you mentality when you go places. Who are you? I have a business card. For what? Nothing. Just in case. Type of shit. This film does that. But then when you start really, when you started complaining about like them being immature and shit, I'm thinking, damn, but that's Facebook. Like, we literally just, we go through that constantly on fucking Facebook. Like,
yeah, I don't need it in my movie. That's my thing. People.
I think that's the problem you're having, Chris.
No, it is.
No one feels like they need to do anything to resolve or to really actually examine the behavior. Everybody just wants to show you the behavior. Mm-hmm. So we've got toxic relationships. We've got unhealthy relationships. We've got, you know, people who are at strange places in their lives and the fucked up decisions that they're making, or people who's self-destructive and destroy the one thing in their life that's actually keeping them anchored. But no one actually wants to talk about the things that got them there. Yeah, that's what's happening in filmmaking. But again, it's not just Facebook. That's just life. And I think that that's why I'm concerned that we're getting this type of movie again, where you can even get someone who's a literary writer who you would assume, because they write what's considered to be literary fiction, does that kind of introspection. They're not giving it to you in the movie. They're just kind of showing you the behavior like that's enough. And maybe it's because they want us to have conversations and pit back and forth the way, you know, B and I did, and even you did with, you're like, I just don't care about anybody. I couldn't invest in anybody. Why am I here? Why are you here? Why are you showing me this? Like, maybe they just reached the point where they're like, we're going to show you the behavior. We're not going to like try to, we're not going to try to lead you anywhere. And then you tell us, you know, everything else. And then you, and talk amongst yourselves. But I don't necessarily always like talk amongst yourself movies. Depending on the movie, you can get me. But if it's every aspect of your movie is a talk amongst yourself, or, oh, hey, did you catch that? Or you can be totally confused of what's happening if you missed it.
I get that, but I'm also wondering if the fact that we're having this conversation about how reflective this is of, you know, people's actual social interactions, if that part of the reason that that Emma did the film this way, leaving room for people to talk so much through the film, that part of that comes from the fact that when we see this shit going on in real life, like happening around us, one, it's kind of taboo to even call it out, right? Because I don't want to blame it on PC culture, but part of it is, oh, you don't know what people are going through. You don't know what their feeling is about. And you shouldn't tell people not to express themselves. And you shouldn't tell people that they can't deal with things this way publicly, et cetera, et cetera. Like, if that makes them happier, if that betters their day, then you should let it just be like this. And if people find each other through their own toxicity, but they're able to bond and find happiness within this toxicity, and they're, you know, soaking in their own or basking in their own woes, but growing from it, then, you know, who are you to say that they can't do that? That yo and yada yada, people can't do this. And I think on the outside, other people like myself look at it and we go, or you could just stop wallowing and complaining about shit and actually do something, or actually figure out like what's going on, and then maybe start from there to work it in a better direction or something.
I think people don't know that just that you can talk about, you can have a narrative thread from the beginning and end of this type of movie that has some kind of forward movement and some way for people to invest in characters that may be wholly unrecognizable to them without being judgy and preachy. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't feel like, I like the fact that she didn't, like, there's no shade, there's no judgment on any way of how anybody wants to live their life except for Irene, and she was perfect. Tell me I'm wrong.
I agree. No, I agree. When she flipped her shit and switched hats from promo girl who's trying to get some cash because I get paid this way too, to motherfucker, you ran me to the fucking ground and I've been coming out to this nasty ass restaurant that I don't even eat in to have these meetings with you.
I know you didn't just waste all my damn time. But there was no other place in this story at all where anybody pushed through anything. So yeah, that's where you lose a whole lot of people. Like, if you don't know how to talk about the things and go dive into the things and give somebody something to connect to on something without then also being a judgmental asshole, yeah, your choice is to kind of leave things fully unresolved, but then you end up with Chris's saying, why the fuck did I watch this? Or
what was I supposed to get out of this? I don't need to see people behaving badly and their toxic and stupid behavior if we're not really going to talk about it. And you keep turning away every single time. It gets to the point where somebody should be having a real conversation. And that's what this movie did. Every single time that there was a moment where these two couples or these two people were in a place where there should have been having a real conversation, they ran from it. And you can get away with that sometimes because people do run from those conversations. But if that's your resolution every single time, this ending becomes even more bullshit.
Yeah. No, I get it. Yeah. I completely get Chris's frustration with this shit because you do. Oh my God. I can't, I don't even want to go into how many times I sit and I'll read people's shit on Facebook and I'm like, God, I wish I would just talk about what was going on with y'all. Or I wish I would just address the fucking elephant in the room instead of kumbayaing around this fucking shit and acting like there's nothing going on with y'all. Like it's, or fucking, oh my God, like instigating some shit in a way that you think is positive, but really is causing a person to do more harm to themselves publicly. But it's cool because we stand behind you and we'll hold your hand through the fire. Like what the right. fuck?
But that's what we do. And it's really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what she wanted. So that's why I didn't dislike the movie. I've liked this better than other movies. I think that she has an eye and I just think that maybe she needs to pull a little further out of her head so we can have a better narrative hold. And, you know, there's some depth. She can write the characters. She can find the right actors to play them. She can write a scene. She can block it out. But that full narrative story, I felt it was a little light. And without that depth, you get, why did I watch this? From a lot of people who may come to your movie.
Her cinematographer, I'm just like going through her wiki page and because we keep talking about how this film looks and she did music videos and she did them for Solange, Arcade Fire, Haim, and Janelle Monae.
That explains everything.
Right.
That explains why I liked what this movie looked like.
I'm she has a group I've never heard of called London Grammar and I just added them to my going.
I love London Grammar. She did their videos. Okay. This makes sense. Everything makes sense. This like she pulled. Yeah. Okay. I now understand why I like the way this looked. Okay. And by the way, London Grammar is some good ass music. So, you know, get on that. They're very UK. I'm gonna tell you that right now. But yeah.
I'm still with UK.
6 out of 10. I have people who I can recommend this to who will really love it and find it to be amazingly brilliant. I have just as many people who are related to people who will respond to this movie like Chris, and I will tell them to excuse themselves why their significant other and or family member watches this movie so I don't get like the angst bitter in my direction that Chris is now sitting and marinating on. There's plenty of people that this movie may be for. I think there's also just as many who are going to not respond to it because it's missing enough narrative depth.
Oh, there you guys have it. Watch at your own risk. I think it comes out on February 8th, I believe. So your mileage may vary. Ours definitely did. We have a bunch of other reviews coming out later on this week. I know the next one is probably, should we got at least two, Lego Movie 2 and What Men Want. We also have Alita. We're not going to record that tonight. We're going to do Alita probably next week. We've seen him, and that's going to be another one where we have varying opinions on that.
I was about to say, there's no energy left to do Alita right now.
Yeah, right now. I don't have the energy to do Alita right now because that's why I kind of want to do it next week. I don't want to do it with a Lego or What Men Want because I think it needs its own like spot for Alita so we can have this. I'm still writing those guys. I'm still getting my anger out.
Oh my God. Please prep yourselves before listening to our leader review anyway.
I'm still kidding.
Have some popcorn because apparently it looks like it's about to be on.
I
don't care. I'm gonna be like, did they fight? All right, cool.
Uh-huh. Anyway, folks, just stay tuned. We trailer review. Also check out our Black Critic Roundtable. I don't know when the next one of those is gonna be, but we're gonna get that one going soon. We had a good time the first time. We talked for like 2 hours on that one. I can't believe we talked that long. So next one probably won't be that long, but we'll be back with that soon as well. Thank you guys very much for listening. Until next time, we're out of here. Peace.